Thank you, preacher. All right, Acts chapter number 18 this morning. You can be seated. Acts chapter number 18. The good thing about preaching first, it can only go up from here. But I appreciate the opportunity to be in the meeting this morning and appreciate all the accommodations and appreciate Brother Gravely having this meeting and thank the Lord for his faithfulness and goodness in our lives. Acts chapter number 18, we'll begin reading in verse number 1. I'll read 11 verses and stay within my time limit and just give you the thought the Lord has laid upon our heart for today. The Bible says in Acts chapter 18 verse 1, "After these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth. And found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius had commanded all the Jews to depart from Rome and came unto them. And because he was of the same craft, he abode with them and wrought, for by their occupation they were tent makers. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. And when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. When they opposed themselves and blasphemed, he shook his raiment and said unto them, Your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean from henceforth. I will go to the Gentiles. He departed thence and entered into a certain man's house named Justus, one that worshiped God, whose house joined hard to the synagogue. And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house, and many of the Corinthians hearing believed and were baptized. Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision, Be not afraid, but speak and hold not thy peace, for I am with thee. And no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city. And he continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them." When we come to this text, we understand by way of introduction, just give you the context and I'll give you my thought and get out of the way. In verse number 1, we note the city that Paul stopped in. The Bible says that he comes to Corinth. And we understand that Corinth was one of the greatest cities of that day. It was known for its bronze, for its pottery, for its industry, but it was also known for its sin and for its wickedness. But what I love about this, it did not matter how wicked that city was, God still wanted a preacher in that city. Amen. That's amazing. Everybody talks about how bad it is in the world. It's always been bad. There's four people on the world in Genesis 4, and one knocks the other one off for TV, Facebook, alcohol, or anything. It's always been bad, sinful, but I'm so glad God still wanted a preacher there. God still wanted the church there. And your town may be bad where you're ministering, and it might be difficult, but God wants a preacher there. Amen. There ought to be a man of God in your city. Thank God for that privilege we have. So there's the city that he stopped in verse 1. There's the Christians that he stayed with. In verse number 2, the Bible teaches us that he met Aquila and Priscilla, and they had fled because of persecution. Thank God for preachers that are standing, but thank God for people that are not preachers, but they're just faithful in the church, and they still stand and do right and live for God, and they're a blessing to the church, and they're a blessing to the man of God, and they're a blessing to the people of God. And then we note in verse number 3, I'm headed somewhere, we note the craft that he specialized in. The Bible said that he was of the same craft. He was a tent maker. Paul was bivocational. He needed to make some ends meet. He's having to work. And I want to say this morning. I understand. I know it's a Monday morning, but there could be some preacher today. You got a day off and you're having to be bivocational. You're not a second-rate preacher. I know I was in a meeting one time and a guy blew that out. Hey, you better take care of your family and pay your bills, have a good testimony. There's nothing wrong with that. Paul was working and Paul was nothing full-time, as you call it. Just because you're not full-time and don't have a big staff and all that don't mean you're any less of a preacher. Verse number 4, the congregation that he served, the Bible said he reasoned every Sabbath in the synagogue, every Sabbath, and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. We understand according to Acts 9:15 that Paul's commission was to the Gentiles. But we also know that Paul, according to Romans 10, he always had the Jew in his heart. He always had that desire to see his people saved. So he's reasoning that synagogue every Sabbath, both the Jews and the Greeks. But what I'm interested in is in verse number 5 and 6, the circumstance that he surmised. He gets up one Sabbath day and he's got a message burning on his heart. And he gets up and he preaches it and nobody wants it. Nobody seems to receive it. In fact, they oppose him. And Paul begins to preach. He faced difficulty in the congregation. He faced division within the congregation. And he faced discouragement in this congregation. And I believe Paul at this point felt like many of us do on Monday mornings, I just wasted my time.
Now, I don't know about you. Maybe you don't ever have this problem. But there are many times on a Sunday night or a Monday morning after preaching, I get up and I say, I just wasted my time. They didn't get anything I said. I tried to study. I tried to pray. I tried to have a message, a word from God. I get up and I preach it with heart. I tried to make sure my heart was right. I've done everything I know to do it's right. And nothing happened. Tell me I'm not the only one like that. And he just felt like he was wasting his time. And I want to remind us this morning, and that's what I want to preach on. Am I just wasting my time? There might be a preacher here today. There might be an evangelist, a missionary. There might be a layman that you're teaching Sunday school and serving God, and you're trying to witness and do right. And it seems the more you try to do right, there's no results. There's nothing happening. And you feel like you're just wasting your life. I mean, you could go somewhere else and make a whole lot more money. You go somewhere else and have a whole lot less headaches and just go to church and just go and be fine. And you feel like you're just wasting, but there's something deep down in your heart called the call of God. And even though it don't seem right on Monday morning, you get up again on Wednesday nights and you preach one more time. I like Brother Alfred Willis said, I'm not wasting my life, I'm investing my life. It's not a waste to live for God. We're not wasting our time here this morning. We're investing our life. Amen. God's been good to us and kind to us. How much more should we thank Him with our faithfulness and with our worship and with our praise? He is worthy. And that's easy to shout in the camp meeting. But next Monday morning when the camp meeting's over, and our brethren's not around us, and the fellowship's not there, and you preach, and they sat there and played on Facebook, or they didn't even come back on Sunday night, and they've wasted my time. Notice some things in the text quickly. First of all, there is the preaching of the sermon. I mean, he's got the right message. There's the Spirit's moving. Paul was pressed in the Spirit in verse 5. He didn't pull something out. He didn't take something out of context. He had a message from God. You know, you can have a message from God and people still not receive it.
That's right.
He was, the Spirit's moving. And then the specific message, the Bible said that he testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. There's not a greater message in the world to preach than about Jesus Christ, amen. And lift Him up and magnify Him and glorify Him, amen. I'm a young man this morning, but I will say this. I believe you ought to preach on sin, and I believe you ought to preach on standing separation. But you better watch a preacher who never preaches on Calvary. You better be leery of a man that never goes back and takes us to bloody Calvary into an empty tomb. Amen. I'll tell you, he said, I've got one message. If I had one message I could preach to you, I'd preach to you that Jesus is the Christ. He is the Son of God. Oh, what a message we have this morning to preach and to declare. And then he had a simple method. We know, looking in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, he told that church, he said, brethren, when I came to you, I came not with excess of speech or of wisdom, declaring you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Amen. What a message we have to tell this morning. Paul came to Corinth not to impress, he came to inform. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. Well, preacher, they don't like it. Paul told Timothy, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Doctrine is what we believe, sound doctrine is how you behave. They never did enjoy sound doctrine, they just endured it. And they ain't never liked hard preaching. They ain't never liked Bible preaching. But we preach anyway, amen. There's the preaching of the sermon. Verse 6, the protesting of the sinners. And when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, he shook his raiment and said, your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean. From henceforth I will go to the Gentiles. I notice their boldness when they opposed themselves. That word opposed means to rage in battle against. It's amazing. Not everybody appreciates truth. I mean, you're the greatest thing in the world until you preach on their sin. Your church is the greatest place in the world until you have to deal with an issue in the church. Their boldness and their blasphemy. The Bible said they blaspheme, which means to speak reproachfully, to rail at, to revile. It became personal.
Yeah, that's right.
Somebody said, you can't take everything at the church so personal as a pastor. How can you not if you're not invested? You've got your heart invested. You've got your life invested. The best years of your life, your mind, your prayer. It got invested and they blasphemed, made it personal. I noticed the perplexing of the servant. Look at verse number 6. Y'all ever want to do this, preachers? He shook his raiment and said to them, your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean from henceforth. I will go to the Gentiles. He departed from thence and entered into a certain man's house named Justus, one that worshiped God, whose house joined hard to the synagogue. Verse 6, his heated exposition. He shook his raiment. Warren Wiersbe said that was an act of judgment, saying, you had your opportunity, but now it's over. You ever done that on a Sunday night? You ever got done preaching and said, y'all can have it. If you don't want it, and maybe I'm the only one that's done that. Y'all pray for me, amen. But you can have it. You tried to preach. You tried to do right. And they're not receiving it. You've got a legitimate burden to help them. And they're not getting it. His heard explanation, your blood be upon your own heads. This little phrase speaks that they were responsible for the decision that they had made to reject the message of Christ. We can't make people receive the message. You know, the Lord convicted me about something. Don't you hate when that happens? Especially when you're a preacher. I'm like, I'm supposed to be exempt from that, you know? I'm supposed to be the one reproving. I ain't supposed to get rebuked, but you know that ain't how it works. Ain't we funny, preachers? We'll get up on Sunday night and fuss at the crowd that come back on Sunday night for the crowd that ain't there on Sunday morning.
Yeah, that's right.
They're like, crazy man, we're here. What do you want from us? And then Wednesday night, we let the crowd have it for the crowd that didn't come back on Sunday. You know what Peter said? Feed the flock of God that is among you. In other words, Peter said, you can't feed them if they don't show up. It's not your job to rally in the sheep. It's your job to put food on the table. Feed who shows up, amen. And by the way, I ain't never had somebody have to beg me to come to church. When I got saved, I had an automatic homing device put in my heart that when it's church time, I just show up, amen. In fact, I show up place any in my church because it's church time, amen. And then his hasty exit. He departed thence and entered a certain man's house named Justus, one that worshiped God, whose house joined hard to the synagogue. Brother Eddie Davis said, that looks like a parsonage. Walked out, the house joined hard to the synagogue. Went and sat down. Just walked out. You ever got tempted to do something for the Lord and only felt like rejecting? You just wanted to go away and hide? But we know he feel like I'm wasting my time. Ain't nothing happening here. But look at verse number 8. He walks out, but look at the people that were saved in verse 8. And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all of his house. And many of the Corinthians hearing believed and were baptized. Paul might have walked out, but the Holy Ghost didn't walk out. Here's Paul. Paul, as he's preached, he's delivered his message. They blasphemed. They reviled him. They reproached him. Paul shakes his raiment and said, I'm done with this crowd. And he walks out and he goes away and hides. But what he didn't know, whose house, that house joined hard the synagogue on the other side of that wall. When Paul had walked out, he couldn't see. But God was still doing a work. And I'm so glad on those times when I can't see God working and I felt like I've wasted my time and I'm not getting anything done. I'm glad God can go beyond the walls and God can go beyond the hard hearts and He can work on their hearts when I can't. There's the first salvation, Christmas. The chief ruler of the synagogue believed on the Lord. The family salvation with all his house and the following salvations and many Corinthians hearing, believing, and were baptized. Wonder who baptized them?
Yeah.
Paul ain't there. I mean, I don't know how they baptized. I don't know if it went like that or what they done, but they got baptized, amen. And because Paul was hasty, he missed out on a blessing. You know, we as preachers, we preach to our people, don't live on your emotions, but we preachers are just as bad about it. And I'm with you on that, okay? I'm talking from personal experience. But because left on his emotions, he missed a great blessing to baptize. In fact, he'll say in Corinthians, he just baptized the house of Stephanus. He missed out on that opportunity. Notice the peace that was spoken, verse 9 and 10. I love this now. While God's saving people on this side of the wall, he's ministering to his preacher on this side of the wall. Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision, be not afraid, but speak, and hold not thy peace, for I am with thee. And no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city. That was news to Paul. Paul got there, it's a bunch of wicked sinners. I mean, it's bad and reviled. And then God shows him and said, Paul, I got a bunch of people in this city. And Paul's like, really, where are they at? Notice this peace came divinely in verse 9. Then spake the Lord. Hey, I'm glad when God gives me a word for my congregation. I'm glad when God gives me a message for my people. But I'm telling you, those precious times is when God gives me something not for the pulpit, but he gives me something for the preacher, amen. And he ministers to my heart and he helps me along the journey. Don't, one man told me years ago, don't study the Bible to preach, study the Bible because you love it. The peace came divinely, came directly to Paul. The peace came in the darkness, in the night, by a vision. The peace came with directions. Be not afraid, but speak and hold not thy peace. You know what the message of Paul was? Keep on preaching. Paul, I know you don't think you saw any results. I don't know when Paul found out about these people getting saved. I think it might have been the next day. I wouldn't argue with you about that. But here's what I do know this. Paul may not know what's going on right now, but God's giving word to Paul, a word to Paul. Go preach one more time. Go stand one more time. Hey, preachers, you might have drug in here this morning, had a rough day yesterday, and you're dreading Easter Sunday because it's usually hard to preach on those kind of days, but go preach one more time. Take your text one more time and preach what thus saith the Lord. This peace was dependable. Verse 10, for I am with thee. G. Campbell Morgan, that famous British preacher, God used to write many books. When he was a young man, he would used to go and read the Bible to two elderly ladies each evening. One evening, he was reading through the Gospel of Matthew and concluded with the verse that said, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. And after reading that verse, he looked at the ladies and said, ladies, isn't that a wonderful promise? And the dear lady said, Pastor, that's not a promise, that's a fact. Amen. I'm glad he is with us in these days. This peace came with defense. Verse 10. And no man shall sit on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city. I'm talking about the fact when you feel like you're wasting your time, God's doing a work. I've been pastoring since 2013 and been there 11 and a half years. The Lord's been so kind to us at our church. And I'm actually currently writing a book on church building. I'm building all the churches in my town. I haven't really figured out how to get them to stay in my church, but I'm really doing good building other churches. It's a blessing, amen. Brother David Shelton calls them backdoor revivals, amen. And we have a large back door, apparently, amen. I never forget in 2016, I mean, things were going good. We got a big crowd and we're having a good time. And of course, I think everybody wants to come hear me preach. And, you know, last night proved that not to be the case. But we all had to take a stand about some sin and some separation. And in 1 year, about 65 walk out.
Yeah.
And I'm young and still dumb. And I'm glad my wife ain't here. She would have took a lap and shouted right there. But I just spent the next year defending myself. Now, I may be the only preacher who's done that, but I felt like it was all about me. You're attacking me. You're leaving me. And you know what I was doing for a year, Dr. Jones? I was shaking my raiment every service. Now, y'all pray for me, okay? I'm not as sanctified as I'm shaking my raiment. I mean, I'm just, and everything I'm looking for is, you know, and I believe y'all, you shouldn't stand against the man of God. Don't misunderstand me. But I made it personal about me when that wasn't the issue. The issue was the Word of God. But it was on a Sunday morning in February, during all that junk going on, that this boy and this girl come walking in on a Sunday morning, and I'm telling you, just sin. You could tell just sin had wrecked and ruined their lives. And I preached that morning. She come down the altar and got saved. They started coming back. A few months later, he got saved, and then they got married. And after they got married, God began to work in his heart, and God called him to preach. And after God called him to preach, God gave him a little boy. And then he had been locked up in prison. I mean, he had had a rough testimony, and God has saved him out of all that, and God had made a difference in his life. And that whole time, I'm just shaking my raiment. During that whole time, he's there. And then back in September, Rock of Ages accepted him to be a missionary, amen. Brother Richie Henson out of our church. You know what? God, that whole time, I was shaking my raiment, thinking I was wasting my time, thinking nothing was happening. God saved a couple, and God called a preacher, and God sent out a missionary. I couldn't see it. I didn't know what was going on, but I'm so glad God can look beyond my ignorance, look beyond my personality, look beyond my failures. And when I can't see what God's doing, God's still doing a word. You may never know who you're preaching to. And there's the persistency of his service. Verse 11, I conclude the text. And he continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. His continuation, he continued. He didn't quit. Preacher, don't quit. We don't need any more preachers to quit. You continue, amen. And then his conveying, he taught teaching the word of God among them. When Paul felt as though he was wasting his time there at Corinth, he didn't realize that God was doing a work in their heart.
Yes, sir.
I'm in 19 minutes. I'm not done. You can't be good. Be short, amen. And that's my philosophy, amen. Brother Jimbo Seaton says it pays by the job, not by the hour, amen. But I had some area in my yard, and I don't know anything about planting grass, growing anything. I mean, I don't know anything about, and don't care to know about it, okay? I mean, I just don't. But we had a little area. My wife wanted grass grown out there. And so I went to Lowe's and paid $150. They thought I was building a bomb with all that fertilizer I was buying. And I put the fertilizer, and sure, she said, "Don't you think you ought to rake up that ground?" I'm like, "No, you ain't got to rake up the ground. You just throw it out there." I called one of the guys in my church. My wife went around and said, "Hey, do you think I ought to rake up this ground before I plant this grass seed?" He said, "Yeah, preacher, that's a good idea." My wife still don't know that he told me that. Amen. Deny, deny, deny. And I planted that seed and threw out that straw. And me being me, I come out the next day looking for grass. Ain't nothing. And I go out the next day looking. And go out the next day and, I mean, nothing. Nothing. No grass, nothing. And I come home from Bristol, Tennessee the other night from preaching a meeting at 1 o'clock in the morning. I get out of my truck and I walk. And at 1 o'clock in the morning, I looked and I'm on my hands and knees. I think my neighbors made it up, thought I was crazy. I said, "Oh, there's grass." I couldn't see it growing. It took time, but I didn't see it till it got dark. And I couldn't see it, but God was watering and God was letting the sun shine. God was letting that seed do His work. Preacher, you may be throwing out seed every Sunday. You may feel like nothing's growing. You may feel like nothing's happening, but get up with a seed bag on Sunday morning again. Throw out some more seed. Throw out some more seed. Plant some more seed. And it might be you show up on a Sunday night and you see a little growth. You see a change. And you know what you'll find out? I ain't wasting my time.
Amen.
21 minutes. I'm done. Thank you, preacher.